that we could get. We didn't come to enter and set. We didn't come to be seen or heard. We just came here for nothing but church. We didn't come to see what we could get. We didn't come to enter and set. We didn't come to be seen or heard.
Tremendous, tremendous job. They packed up after a long work week on Friday evening, And a good group of them came over to Gadsden for the parade of choirs. And when they got there at the parade of choirs, it was a rainy Friday night, kind of a long trip over there, and Brother Cedric sang, "The presence of the Lord is here." And afterwards, a guy came up to him and said, "I know the words to that song. I couldn't hear a word you were saying, but I..." And technically, it was pretty rough. The sound was off, and they couldn't hear one another. And in the middle of singing and praising, they were thinking, "Why in the world have we driven this far on a Friday night to be involved in this?" But you know what? For all that we did there and all that we didn't do there, there was a little gal in a pink sweater with long straight blonde hair and still had her Arapahoe stuff on, and she was just, whatever anybody was, when they took up the offering, she was just into it. She was just worshiping and praising God. I asked Brother Davidson's daughter afterwards, I said, "Who's this little gal back here?" She said, "That's my baby. I went to high school with her, and now I've won her to God, and I'm teaching her a Bible study." Well, you know what? She didn't care who was singing or what it sounded like or anything else. She was just digging it and worshiping God and magnifying God. I said, "Man, that's good enough. That's plenty of reason to bring a whole crowd of people into a house of God. That's plenty of reason for me to spend a Friday night and a lot of energy for one." Everybody say, "For one." I'm glad when it was my turn that God had room for one. I'm glad that when it was my time, God had room for one, and that the kingdom would stop for one, and that the church had time for one. Somebody say, "Praise the Lord." Praise God. We're going to be reading tonight again in 2 Kings, and I really like the choir. I think I'm in love with the choir director. Can't make up my mind between the secretary and the choir director. Got to make a choice here. My goodness. Praise the Lord. We're going to read in 2 Kings chapter 2. We'll begin in verse 9. 2 Kings 2 and 9. Praise the Lord. "And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, 'Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee.' And Elisha said, 'I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me.' And he said, 'Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so.' And it came to pass as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, 'My father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof.' And he saw him no more, and took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, 'Where is the Lord God of Elijah?' And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over." Praise the Lord. God bless you. You can be seated. Let's give him thanks for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. Let's praise him and magnify him. God, we're thankful tonight for your life-changing word. We're thankful for your life-giving word. We're thankful, Lord God, for the great privilege of handling it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So as we move into this reading again, and we've been lacing these last few services over and around this same narrative passage, it was time for Elijah to be taken up in a whirlwind, and Elisha was following him and would not leave him, but was dead set on seeing him when he left. And as it turns out, That was exactly the requirement for receiving the double portion of the Spirit of Elijah. And Elisha's entire experience in the kingdom was about to be radically changed because he persevered in what seemed like a very simple thing. Whatever I find to do in the kingdom of God, I want to do it with all of my might as unto the Lord, because you never know the significance of it. You never know the consequence of it. You never know how far it's going to go. When you're singing a song, you don't know who's going to be touched and moved by that song. If you're playing an instrument, you don't know who's going to be moved by that music. If you're teaching a Sunday school class, you don't know, but that morning, that child's destiny might be changed by something simple that you say. So whatever I do, I want to do it with all my heart as unto the Lord. Praise God. And Elisha would not turn aside, but he followed the old man. And they went from Bethel to Jericho, and from Jericho to Jordan, and they crossed over. And as they crossed over, the chariot of God and a whirlwind and the fire of God came down in that place. And Elijah was caught up, and Elisha saw him when he left. And that was the criteria. He said, if you see me when you go, then you can have what you've asked. And he had asked for a double portion of Elijah's spirit. Praise the Lord. As Elisha looked up into the heavens, he saw that mantle that the old man had worn floating down. And he reached down and picked it up and smote the waters himself. And the waters parted. And he was engaged at that point and invested at that point in the same spirit that Elijah had been walking with for his tenure as the prophet of Israel. What we're witnessing in the passage that we're reading tonight is the emergence of a new man. Everybody say a new man. We're watching the departure of one ministry and the emergence of a new ministry. We're watching the departure of one man and the emergence of a new man. We're seeing a sea change in what God is doing in that country and among those people, and he's going to do it by this man. Everybody say praise the Lord. In chapter 2 and in verse 15, the sons of the prophets saw Elisha as he came back, and he crossed over the river by supernatural power. And here's what they said when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him. They said, the spirit of Elijah does rest upon Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. The spirit of Elijah was on him. Now, you shouldn't be shocked by this scenario or by this commentary, that the spirit of one would come upon another, because it's a common biblical theme. When we read about Moses in the 70 and Joshua, God said, Moses, I'm going to put your spirit upon those 70. And the spirit of God came down and mingled with Moses. And that spirit that was on Moses came on the 70 and also came on Joshua and all of those young princes of Israel that were with him. And they were endued with the power of Moses. And we see that that's a common thing in the scripture. For the spirit of one, which was literally the spirit of God, but intermingled with the spirit of that man, the spirit of Elijah would come upon John the Baptist. In Luke chapter 1 verse 17, he shall go forth in the spirit and power of Elijah. It's not Elijah, it's a different man altogether, but it's the spirit of Elijah. An ancient spirit, if you would, come down on a new cultivated field. An ancient spirit come down on a new man, a new vessel that's going to do a new work in a new place in a new season of time. Praise the Lord. And we understand that clearly in the church age, in that upper room, 120 received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And it was not the same man, Peter, that stepped out in Acts chapter 2, that had stood around the fire and denied the Lord and cursed and said, I don't know him. I never knew him. It was a different Peter than the one that had said, I'm going fishing. And he had reverted back to type, gone back to the fishing boat and gone back to his old life. But now this new Peter took a step of faith, endued with the Holy Ghost, he was a new man. It was a new ministry, and it was a new day, and the Spirit of God came upon him. Some ancient spirit that came down on a new man, on a new vessel, and was going to do a new work in the streets of Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 6, there's a problem in the church, and there's conflict in the church. And Peter said, you seek you out men, seven men among you, full of faith and of good report with the brethren. Lay your hands on them. They need to be full of the Holy Ghost. But they laid their hands on them, and they prayed for them. And I want you to know what happened there. They already had the Holy Ghost. Say, they already had the Holy Ghost. But something else began to come on them. And the apostles laid their hands on them. And the spirit of those apostles came down on those that would be the beginning of the diaconate, or the first deacons, if you would. And Philip and Stephen were among those. And Stephen stepped out in something he had never felt before, because the spirit of a man, the spirit of God, intermingled with a man. And a ministry had gotten on him. And he began to preach so powerfully that the Jews took him out and killed him. And then Philip, by that same empowerment, went down into Samaria and did signs and did wonders. We don't even read about him before, but now he's uncorked and now he's unchained, and there's something on him that wasn't on him before. And now he's down at Samaria and revival is falling. And now he's down at Samaria and people are receiving the Holy Ghost and being baptized. People that had never heard the gospel before. Something ancient had come upon new vessels. Something that had been on the patriarchs and the prophets of old, come down now in a new place on new people to do a new work. And in this house tonight, I feel the presence of an almighty God. I feel the drawing of destiny in this house. But I also feel the presence. The word of God said we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Speaking of the elders and the faithful and the mighty that have gone on before. And I'll tell you what, it doesn't surprise me at all if the spirit of David would come down upon some young person in this house. It wouldn't surprise me at all if the spirit of Moses or Joshua came down upon some young person in this house tonight. It wouldn't be a challenge at all for me to believe that the spirit of an ancient man of faith would come down upon a new vessel in this house for a new work and a new season and a new dynamic in the kingdom of God. Everybody say praise the Lord. It was the spirit of Elijah on Elisha. We know by the power it was the spirit of God, but it was intermingled with the ministry and the man Elijah. Praise God. And those things don't go away. Watch what happens. Elijah had gone, but now his spirit came down on Elisha. Elijah was long gone, 700 years, but now his spirit comes down on the man John the Baptist. The Bible said he moved in the power and in the spirit of Elijah. We may not understand it, but we can read it for what it is. And when I see their faith, I want to stand in that faith. And when I see the power of God in their lives, I want to stand in that power. And when I see the hand of God moving in them for miracles, my God, I want to walk in that. I want to be like that. I want to... Praise God. We could use an Othniel in the house. We could use a Shamgar in the house. Mighty men of David. We could use those that walked in times past. The spirit of those ancients upon new flesh. Praise the Lord. And when that begins to happen, when the new man begins to emerge, and new ministry begins to emerge, God begins to do something new, there's always resistance. The 50 sons of the prophets that had stood off at a distance to watch, and they saw Elijah ascend, and they saw Elisha split the waters of Jordan and crossed back over. They drew near to him. And in the second chapter, beginning around verse 15, the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him. They said, "The spirit of Elijah does rest on Elisha." They knew what had happened. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. And they said unto him, "Behold now, there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master, lest peradventure, or maybe, the spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or in some valley." And he said, "You shall not send." And when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, "Send." And they sent therefore 50 men, and they sought 3 days, and they found him not. And when they came again to him, for he tarried at Jericho, he said to them, "Did I not say to you, go not?" They were looking for the old man. They were looking for the old ways. They were resistant to the passing of the old, and they were resistant to the emergence of the new. And they said, "Let's go and look for that old man and see if we can't find him. Let's see if we can't." They had already seen the manifestation. They already spoke with their mouths. The spirit of Elijah is upon him. But there is always resistance when God begins to bring forth the emergence of a new man, or the emergence of a new ministry, or the emergence of a new powerful move and dynamic in the kingdom of God. My God, there's always something that's going to rise up and resist the leaving of the old, something that'll always resist the emergence of the new. Well, praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. And what one generation doubts, another generation will disdain. Those elders said, "We don't really believe Elijah's gone. Let's go look for him." And they resisted the emergence of that new man. And when they came back, they were real quiet. And he said, "I told you not to go, and you went, 50 of you. You spent 3 days, you couldn't find him." He said, "Something new is happening here." Toward the end of that chapter, as Elisha's leaving, young people meet him.
Right.
We ought to turn this reverse here because, well, I mean, you need to be speaking and I need to be hearing, because they said, "Go up, thou bald head. Go up." Now, what they meant was, one, Elisha was obviously bald. I may not have his spirit, but we've got his hairdo. "Go up, thou bald head." And what they were saying, "We know you said Elijah went up in a chariot of fire." But the elders didn't believe it. And they might have come back disappointed at not finding him. But in the house, they were saying, I don't think he really went up. I don't know who Elisha thinks he is, but Elijah probably hadn't gone up." And they were murmuring about it in their houses. And what you murmur about in your house, your child will step out in the street and say. What you despise in your house, your child will step out in the street with disdain. What you criticize in your house, your child will not want to be a part of. "Go up, thou bald head." As if Elijah went up. And as they made their way on down the street, the bears met them and mauled them. It doesn't say they ate them. It just says they mauled them. Just bit them a little bit. Just chewed on them a little bit. There's always something that resists the emergence of the new man. That resists the emergence of the new ministry. My God. When Brother Patrick prayed through and received the Holy Ghost, everything around him was resisting his emergence. Everything within him was resisting his emergence. And the probabilities of his survival this long were so infinitesimal, it wasn't even funny. But we know something. We understand that God is able to bring forth a new man. We understand that God is able to bring forth a new creature. We understand that God is able to bring forth a new manifestation. And so the burden of the Church of the Living God is, everyone that prays through is a home run. Everyone that gets baptized is a sure winner. You can tell me about all those you've seen, but I'm going to tell you about those who stood. I'm going to tell you about those who've lasted. I want to talk about those who are still in the boat. There's the emergence of a new thing in the city of Birmingham, and I believe it. There's the emergence of a new ministry in Birmingham, and I believe it. There's the emergence of a new man. Praise God. Praise God. Brother Fred, the Word of God says you can live for God, and I believe it. Somebody shout, I believe it. Praise God. All you young men, the Word of God says you can live for God, and I believe it. I believe it. Every one of you young ladies, the Word of God declares you can live. And when you make up your mind, and when you say, I'm going to have it, the spirit of some ancient is going to come down upon you. My God, you can have a double portion of those that you've admired and those that you've esteemed in the kingdom of God. I said the heroes aren't all dead, and the miracles are not dried up, and revival is not a thing of the past. And you can resist it if you want to, but you can't stop. You're a barking dog, and the kingdom of God is a runaway freight train. My God. Praise God. Let's lift our hands and love Him and praise Him and worship Him. Give me a double portion, God. Give me a double portion. Let a new man emerge. Let a new woman emerge. Let a new ministry emerge. New victory. New joy. New vision. New anointing. New season of revival. Ha. Praise God. There's always resistance, but we're accustomed to that. Ah, God. Resistance is what makes you strong. Resistance is what makes you endure. Nature all around us teaches and demonstrates that to us. But don't lose heart if there's a little resistance. Don't lose your zeal if there's a little resistance. Lean into it. When it pushes, push back. When it cries out, you cry out. Ah, God. Praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. In 2 Kings chapter 3, we get a little bit of a bio, and it's so limited on Elisha. Chapter 3 and verse 11. When they're talking about drafting a prophet, Jehoshaphat is asked for a prophet. And they say there is a prophet, and they identify him in this manner. They say, but Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the kings of Israel's servants answered and said, here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. That was his bio. That was his personnel file. What did Elisha do? He poured water on the hands of Elijah. He was a servant of the man of God. He was a servant of the kingdom of God. He played a menial role in what God was doing in his lifetime because he had some understanding. I may start off carrying the shoes of a prophet, but I'm going to be a prophet. I may start off pouring water on the hands of a prophet, but I'm going to walk in his anointing. Oh, you don't think so? The Word of God said if you give a cup of water to a prophet, that you'll get that prophet's reward. My God, I want to find me a prophet and give him a cup of water. My. That's all he was doing. I'm talking about a man named Elisha who was positioned and positioned himself to be the new man emerging, to be the new ministry emerging. And if you think I'm talking about card-carrying preachers and pulpit preachers, I am not. I'm talking about the children of God, each one of them a dynamic, unique individual in the kingdom with a called ministry upon every last one of us. And at some point, we've got to emerge into that ministry. You cannot sit upon the calling of God. You've got to rise up in it. Whatever it is, to pour water on the hands of the prophet is a powerful thing in the kingdom of God. Mighty God, in a church this size, we ought not have any trouble staffing the nursery. In a church this size, we ought not ever have trouble finding somebody to take care of menial jobs. In a church this size, we ought to have people with a smile on their face saying, put the kingdom of God in my hand. I'll be faithful with it. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And that's the language of ministry emerging. And the new man emerging. But the resistance is always there. And sometimes you can fall prey to the resistance. And sometimes the little things that you're doing in the kingdom of God become a burden to you. And it sours your spirit and makes bitter your heart. And you find yourself griping instead of praising. And murmuring instead of praying. And fretting. And your joy has run out your boot. And it's because you lost the joy of doing simple things in the house of God. My God. My God. Just let me. David said, just let me be a doorkeeper. He said, I know I'm a giant killer. I know I'm a psalmist. I know I'm a prayer warrior. I know I'm the anointed chosen of God. But just let me be a door. See, he had the revelation. Doesn't need the spotlight. You watch David when he's worshiping, takes off his royal robe and gets out in the street and just gets it. Magnifying and praising God. Doesn't care what his wife thinks. Doesn't care what anybody else thinks. Praising and just the simple things. I want to do the simple things well. I don't have to stand in a pulpit. And I don't have to have my name recognized by the fellowship. Just let me be a part of what God is doing in revival. Praise God. I never asked for the job of a pastor. I never asked for the job of a pulpit preacher. My greatest joy is opening up that Bible in a Bible study format in a house with somebody that's never known the kingdom of God. I have no greater joy, but I love what I'm doing here. I love what God has called me to do here. I do it with a lot of joy, but you hear me and understand me tonight. I still have a zeal and a love for the simple things, the seemingly menial things. I want to tell you that you have a calling. Everybody in this house has a calling. If you're born of the water and of the Spirit, you have a call of God on your life. You have a destiny in ministry. There is something that God has planted within you that is unique and powerful in the kingdom of God. And God wants it to rise up and be actualized in your life. But the first thing I've got to do to emerge as the new man and emerge as the new ministry, I've got to learn how to put myself in a place where I enjoy doing the little things. It'll make you, Brother Warren. It'll make you. It'll keep you. Some of you have been around church for a long time. And the small things don't appeal to you anymore. My God. But it's in those little things where I humble myself and I say, here, let me just pour water. You folks are so wonderful to us. I'm almost ashamed because you bless us so well. We moved this week and Sister Corey lined it up, and every evening somebody made supper for us and brought it over to our house. And it almost makes me want to weep because I know you work jobs and I know you're busy and I know you got schedules to keep and I know all of that. But I'm thinking in the middle of it, God bless them. God touch them. God let it rebound to them 100-fold. Let it come back to them. Well, praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. My God, the first thing that Elisha did was he positioned himself to emerge as a man walking in the anointing of an ancient power because he humbled himself to the ministry of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Are you okay? Let's clap our hands unto him and bless his name. We're forming up these teams around here. You need to make sure you're on a team and you've got something to do. That you're up to your elbows in the work of the kingdom of God. I know that life is seasonal. And if you're working 70 hours a week on your job, it's hard to get to anything else. I understand how that is. There's going to be some times when all you can do is just make it to the house of God. And everybody here understands that. But when you're in a season where you have the time, you need to find something to lay your hands on. There ought to be something in the house of God you're doing. My God, that the spirit of Joe Meehan would come down upon some of these young people in this church. My God, let the spirit of Joe come down on some people in this church. Brother Joe, come stand up here. Never walks in the house of God that he's not picking up after somebody. Changing a light bulb. Flushing a toilet. Repairing something that's broken. Taking care of the Sunday school. Doing something in the house of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let his spirit get on him, oh God. Let his spirit wash over on him, mighty God. Let his spirit come down upon them. Ha. Ha. He's perfectly positioned. He's positioned for the emergence of ministry. Perfectly positioned for the emergence of a new man. Somebody say praise the Lord. Boy, by now, if I was a young man in this house, I'd already be right here. I'd be saying, lay your hands on me, Brother Joe. Lay your hands on me, Brother Joe. Let it get on me, Brother Joe. Let it rub off on me, Brother Joe. My God, Sister Bonnie, come down here. Hardest working woman in the Pentecostal church. Praise God. Sister Cynthia Butler, come down here. Sister Shirley Corey, come down here. Perfectly positioned for the emergence of ministry. What you gotta do is come and put yourself in a position where their spirit can get on you. If I was a young lady, I'd be down in front of one of these ladies right now. I'd be saying, lay your hands on me. Let your spirit get on me. Let your anointing come down on me. Praise God. Brother Mike Biscotta, come stand right in here. Praise the Lord. Brother Butch Butler, come stand right in here. Faithful men. Men always busy with the kingdom of God, with the work of God. If I was a young man, I'd say, Brother Butch, Brother Mike, lay your hands on me. Let it get on me. Let it get on me. Let it move on me. Perfectly positioned for the emergence of a new man, of a new ministry. Now, if you just prayed with one of these, I want you to just begin to shout. Just begin to let the Holy Ghost flow right now. Come on. Let it get all through you and in you and on you. you say, can that happen? Can that spirit get on me? I read it to you from the book tonight. The spirit of Elijah came down upon Elisha. God, give me a double portion. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank God. Thank God. My God, some of you young couples, I'd like for the spirit of Jerry and Sarah Dickinson to get on you. I'd like for their spirit to get on you. They're involved in this church. They've been tirelessly working around this place for how long? My goodness gracious, precious and humble, blessed of God. I want their spirit on the young men and the young women of this church. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Position for the emergence of a new man, a new creature, a new ministry. Sare nala yehe via sabra, via sandolo morro le ramagara la harra. I'd find myself a prayer warrior. I'd link myself together with him. I'd say, God, let the spirit of that prayer warrior get on me. I'd link myself with a worshiper. God, let the spirit of that worshiper get on me. I'd find myself a soul winner. God, let that soul winning spirit get on me. I'd find somebody that gives and gives in the kingdom of God. I'd find myself somebody that was a financial blessing to the house of God. And I'd say, God, let that spirit of giving, that gift of giving, get on me. Sigar ala hasahana. Sigar ala bahasite no bokoro. Nagar ala bandiere le harraha. Igo dolo bossa pranahi la harra. Non da galalaria randa la rabasite che non lo horro mai. Igo dolo.
surono matere vessita ralaha. Erina gara la hassata la yegre coto lo corro manala. Avra l'attistando lo corro bonala banala. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to move on a little bit further. And you can just keep that atmosphere, that attitude of praise and prayer. Praise God. He was positioned by placing himself under the shadow of anointing and by thinking it no small thing to handle the menial task of the kingdom of God. See, Elisha understood that. David understood that. Just let me be a doorkeeper. I'm just glad they let me in when I came. Praise God. We already did this the other night, so we won't rehearse the fact that he followed doggedly after Elijah and would not let that anointing out of his sight. I know what I want to be in the kingdom of God. I know, and I won't take no for an answer. I know what I want to be in the kingdom of God, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to become that. I won't be that by laying out every other service. I won't be that by praying twice a week. I won't. It's not going to happen in my life. But Elijah said, I'm never going to take my eye off of him. Wherever he goes, that's where I'm going to go. Whatever he does, my God, I'm going to be there. Praise God. From Bethel to Jericho and to Jordan and the crossing of Jordan. And then he's there and he sees him ascend. And he sees that mantle come down. And he does some very specific things. When he sees that old man leave and he understands what's happening and he sees that mantle falling down, he tears his outer garment. He tears his robe. And like Bartimaeus on the day that Jesus healed him, Bartimaeus stood by the roadside begging. And when Jesus stopped and asked what he wanted, Bartimaeus was crying, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And when Jesus began to approach him, Bartimaeus took off that outer coat and ran to where Jesus was. He took off that beggar's garment. He took off that robe that defined him and said, "I'm about to emerge as a new man." Elisha tore his robe and said, "Here comes something new. This is the emergence of something new. This is the beginning of something new." Praise God. He was willing to let go of what he had been and what he was and where his security was. And he understood that my only security is in pressing on into the kingdom of God. Praise God. Tears that outer garment. That outer garment, that robe is indicative, a biblical indicator of a role or a defining quality. Joseph had a robe in his daddy's house, but he lost that robe. And then he had a robe in Potiphar's house, and he lost that robe. And he got another robe in Pharaoh's house. And life is like that. And a robe will come, a time, a season will come, a defining situation will come, but it will pass by. But that can't be my defining quality of my life. I've got to be defined by the word of God. I'm willing to tear this outer robe until the day that I literally tear the shell of this flesh away and I rise up to be in the presence of God forever. You better get used to taking off robes. You need to get used to tearing those defining garments. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. He tore his robe and he said, "I'm ready for the next stage. I'm ready for what God has for me." Something in you, something in us, something in our corporate group always resists change. And God is all about change. And then Elisha looks and says, "I'm ready for it." And then he takes up the mantle. He possesses it. Everybody say he possesses it. He takes it and says, "I'm going to possess this." Come on. God's looking for somebody that'll take up the mantle of prayer and possess it. This is mine. It will not happen without my prayer. It's not going to happen without my prayer. When it begins to move in this city, my prayer is going to be a part of it. When they start filling up this altar praying through, my prayer is going to be a part of it. Somebody needs to take up the mantle of prayer and possess it. Not waiting for somebody else, not being a part-time prayer warrior, but possessing the mantle of prayer, possessing the mantle of evangelism. Everybody I talk to, I want to tell them about a God that loved me enough to come down from heaven and die for me. A mantle. You say, "Well, I don't tell everybody." Well, take up a new mantle. Tear that old robe. Say, "Well, I'm too busy and I'm so caught up and I can't think about witnessing to other people." And tear that robe and take up a new mantle. My God. Praise God. Old brother C.M. Becton said his life got so cluttered and busy he couldn't find time for prayer. So he said, "I noticed that there weren't many people bothering me, or the phone wasn't ringing at 5 a.m. And he said, "Years and years ago, I started setting my clock and rolling out at 5 for prayer." And he said, "It's kept me all these years." It's funny, there's no interruptions. It's funny, there's nobody knocking on the door. There's no telephone ringing. And so he took up as a young man the mantle of prayer and said, "This is mine, and I'm going to make it happen in my life." Somebody say, praise the Lord. Possess the mantle. Praise God. Praise God. You know what Brother Joe did, and I've used him for an example. You know what he did? He followed me around. He watched what I did in the house of God. He saw when I came, and I just got here early, and I started picking up paper, or I'd turn on lights, or I'd flush the toilets, or I'd make sure it was clean, I'd do something. And you know, we had a lot of people with their hands on the work, and a lot of people, but he just started following me around. And what he said was, I'm going to take the load off my pastor, and I'm going to start doing what he does. And he started, and man, he's turned into, isn't he a valuable gift in this church? Isn't he a blessing? You know what he did? He took up the mantle. You say, well, that's a weird mantle. You try to run a church without people like Joe Meehan. You try to run anything without people like that. Praise God. Praise God. If I was a young man and I wanted to be useful in the kingdom of God and I wanted the kingdom of God to emerge in me, I'd be to church early. I'd be to church early just looking for something to do. Brother Joe, what can I do? Brother Joe, how can I help? A man that's all buttoned up. There's nothing to do. Sister Danette, you need ushers and greeters tonight. Can I help? Is there something I can do? No, no. Oh, my God. Sister Corey, you need somebody to deliver cookies? I think you have ulterior motives. You just want to handle those cookies. Yeah. Fine. And then if there's nothing mechanically to do or physically to do, then make that prayer room's always down there. Now, let me tell you something. Our prayer room situation is not as good as it was in the old building. We used to have a lot more dynamic prayer before service in the other building just because it was bigger. You could walk around in it. It was just a lot better situation. And I understand that this is not optimum, but we need some folks in there before church every time praying. And if I was a young man or a young woman that wanted an emerging ministry in my life, I'd be here early. I'd be in the prayer room. Rain down fire in this place tonight, oh God. Rain down Holy Ghost in this place tonight. Praise God. Walking in that dark room, making bold proclamations about what God will do in the house of God on a Wednesday or a Sunday night. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. He possessed it. And then he utilized it. He struck the waters and he said, where is the God of Elijah? It wasn't enough. He said, I'm going to try this out. My God, I'm going to do some of this. Praise God. I need a little bit of music tonight. Praise God. Praise God. What more could you do to win your city to God? What more could you do? There's ministries galore around this church that you can plug into. But if you're not plugged into one, you need to come and say, sign me up. And don't sit here sucking your thumb and say, nobody asked me to be involved. Let me tell you something. We had a church of 500 in Baton Rouge. I knew everybody on first name basis. I was a veritable spiritual politician. I was pressing flesh, shaking hands and kissing babies all over that church every service. Say, what's that about? I was taking a load off my pastor. I was making sure I knew the needs. I felt the pulse of that body. I was taking care of other. Hey, let me tell you something. You sit here, I wish somebody would encourage me. I wish someone cared about me. I wish someone would pray for me. The kingdom of God is not about you. The kingdom of God is about others. And if you'll get up off of it and you'll begin to minister to others, you'll find your situation will improve dramatically. You'll find that your spirit will lift. You'll maybe be restored to your first love. My God. Well, praise the Lord. Well, I'm done. My God, I want the spirit of some old ancient elders. I want, Brother Mike, I want the spirit of some old apostolic that lived during the dark ages under the tyranny of the Inquisition, who lived under threat of death and who was bold in the kingdom of God. I want that spirit to come down on this house and on our lives. Praise God. James says this. He said, Elijah was a man of like passions as we. And he prayed, and the heavens were closed for 3 years. He said, he was just a man, just like you. No better, no worse. He was just Elijah Tishbite. He was just a man. And God, if he could find a willing heart, can use anybody in an extraordinary way. Brother Patrick, you have aggravated about half the people in this church. And he apologizes and he's sorry. And he's offended the other half of you. But I tell you, I'm just telling you. I see a new man emerging. Positioned himself. He's possessed the mantle. He's trying it out. How many of you read the article in the Leeds newspaper? How many of you read the letter he wrote to all the pastors in Leeds? He's going to have a pastor's breakfast. Brother Patrick, you don't have a preacher's card with the United Pentecostal Church. Don't you understand you don't even have a local license, much less ordination. You don't have a Christian worker's license. That means you can't work in the kingdom. But he doesn't have sense enough to see this. Let me tell you what's happening. The spirit of this fellowship has gotten on him. Your strengths, your burdens, your... Come on now, he didn't bring this in the door with him. He came into this atmosphere and you are what's wrong with him. You are what's happening to him. You are what's driving him and fueling him. Your spirit is getting upon him. Stand together. Once you reach over and lay your hand on somebody, this altar's open. If there's somebody who would like to have a double portion, the spirit of some ancient, the spirit of a long and a far away revival, could the spirit of Azusa Street come down upon this fellowship? Could the anointing of Paul come down upon this fellowship?
I give to you, yeah. You say, Lord,
behind you. Come on, go ahead. Press it.
And enable me.
Everybody in the house,
my storage, oh yeah.
They can pray with
it. It's empty, Lord.
If you need the Holy Ghost,
Lord, I'm available to you,
I'm available.
If you've fallen and you're broken, God can put you back together again.
I give to you, Lord.